For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. It is Wednesday. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, and Tiff hanging out with you. And we are live, as usual, in the Kia Studios. Hope you all had a good evening. Gentlemen, you guys getting anything last night? Racing?
Of course we did. It's Tuesday. And one of us won, one of us didn't.
It was Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday. One of us assisted the
Tuesday.
Other. One of us assisted the other. We took care of each other last night.
Feel good about it? Is that what it is?
Nah, I mean, I had a winning car, and I got in some early trouble, but I came back, and you know what? I did a good deed.
All right.
Oh, no, I get it.
You did a good deed.
I did a good deed.
Oh, my gosh.
Did a good deed.
This dude's lost his freaking
mind.
Dude,
I carried you through some traffic. I left him behind a little bit after that.
I call it dodging Bo's crazy driving. I was dodging.
That was.
Well, there's someone's not telling the truth here.
No, that's actually all the truth.
Someone's not being accurate.
Well, look, the race last night, Tiff, we always do the race that's coming up on the weekend. It was at Atlanta Motor Speedway, which is where NASCAR is this weekend. So I know that'll be a fun event coming up this Sunday. It's the first round of the NASCAR playoffs. They'll be down there. And that's always a fun event, man. It's the hottest ticket in the NASCAR circuit. And obviously a lot of bumper-to-bumper driving. And that's what happened to me and Squid last night, man. So
yes,
it was fun. And
super speedway driving, baby.
Bo seems to think he should have won, but he was way behind. And I won instead.
Bumper-to-bumper. I'm still scarred from what you said yesterday. The Paulding County special.
What, hooking a tow strap up to a bumper and seeing who's got the more powerful truck?
That's not how you said
it. He said something about let's hook bumpers. It was a lot weirder.
Yeah, that's what happens. You're hooking bumpers.
I don't know, man. It was a lot weirder.
You are connecting your bumpers with a tow strap or a chain.
He said put a strap on.
Put a strap on it.
It's a family show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to tell
you. Hey, you put a strap on it as in the bumper.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, if anyone was wondering, I must feel like your wife's at home. No one's going to ask me about my day last night. Gosh, you know, that's all right. I didn't really.
Did you hit the streets last night?
No, I didn't do anything. No, pretty low-key evening. So it's just good to be actually back home in my own bed, at least for a few days.
Did you miss your bed? Like, is that one of the things you miss when you're away from home is your actual bed, like your mattress? Is it just top flight? Do you just like, I can't wait to sink back into this thing?
I would, yeah, it's up there, but I've had some better mattresses at at hotels. So, but yeah, it's just good to actually be in my place and emptying out suitcases, which I'm still doing. I'm ashamed to say, but yes, so missed home. But.
Yeah, it's funny because when I do go away for a little bit, I swear that's the one thing that I just cannot replicate when I leave my house. It's like, dude, I got to get back to my mattress. I got to get back to that mattress, bedding, pillows, whatever it may be. It's just everybody has a certain way they sleep in their own bed, and it seems like when you get away from that and you don't have your fan or, you know, your AC is not the right way in the hotels, it's just that's the one thing to me. I'm like, my sleeping arrangements have got to – I'm a little bit of a diva when it comes to sleeping. I'll be honest with you. A little bit of a diva. That's all right, though. I just know what I like.
I can sleep. I can sleep on the floor.
We've seen that before.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, I can sleep on a desk.
Yeah. Sleeping bag.
I've slept on in the backseat of my truck a few times back in the day.
I hadn't teed off on you in a while, and you almost.
You almost set me up.
I was going to knock it down, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to choose peace today. I'm going to choose peace.
But that's not who you are.
For the most part.
Oh, no. You're violent. You choose violence. You chose it on the soccer field. I like it when you choose violence. I think it makes it fun.
I mean, I was going to say when you're pocket size, you can sleep anywhere.
Yeah. You won't
come
find
on,
me.
That was, come on.
I need the Resolute desk if I'm going to sleep on it. I can tell you that.
Well, I don't think there's no desk big enough for Mike Johnson. I'll tell you that much. But no, you should have hammered me with that. It's funny because we were out one night in a place called Cowboys in Kennesaw. Right?
Wait a minute, this was years ago.
This is college.
I've been to that establishment.
it's now like a retirement apartment community.
Oh really?
Yeah, where the parking lot was and everything.
Dana's shaking his head. You were Cowboys.
We were hanging out and I was sitting on the speaker on the dance floor right there. I might have dozed off.
You fell asleep on top of a speaker?
Yeah, sitting straight up.
Jesus. I can't sit.
Hey.
I can't sleep sitting up.
When you're as talented as I am, you have multiple things you're talented at. And one of them is falling asleep anywhere.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's right.
You might just have been, had too much to drink. Me and my wife talk about this all the time. I cannot sleep sitting up. I can't do it in a car, not on an airplane, not against a wall. I swear I have one of those things that's inside the iPhone. I gotta go to landscape mode, man. Like I gotta go sideways. I cannot go to sleep if I'm not sideways.
I don't have that problem. I got accused of being a monster because I was in the middle seat next to one of my friends on our travels, and I slept upright. One of the guys was walking by, and they were looking at me like, "How is she sleeping like this?"
Yeah, that's impressive.
But that's what they said. But
I think that's okay.
You don't have a choice. You're in the middle seat. What are you going to do when you're tired?
Had your eyes been open, then you would have been a monster. If you were sleeping with your eyes open, you would.
That's a different story.
That would be monster territory.
Well, have you ever nodded off on? I've nodded on someone's shoulder as a youth because my sister would force me to sit in the middle seat if we were going to go visit my parents. And I was in the middle seat, fell asleep on a random stranger.
No, but I had a random stranger fall asleep on me.
It looks concerned.
And it was on the way to Vegas, not home.
Oh, that's gross.
And they drooled. They
As
clearly,
an adult?
Yes, they clearly were taking, they took something that,
some narcotics?
Yes.
And did you move them?
I got up and walked to the bathroom and I came back and they were on the other person because they were the middle seat. I was the aisle and it was like a 3, I think it was a 3-3-3.
What it was a tactic to get someone to switch.
No, I mean I was in
not
the,
you. I'm saying them. What if it was a?
Oh, I don't know, but I wasn't moving. I don't move. You're not moving me an aisle seat. You can bring me any pity party you want, and it's got to be a good one. And I'm not moving out of an aisle seat because we all have the same resources to get the seat we want.
I completely agree.
Especially when I'm in steerage. I mean, I'm in steerage, dude. It's not like
why
not
do you
like,
call it steerage?
Because pretty much that's what it is. I mean, I don't drive first class, and every once in a while I'll get upgraded to comfort, but mostly I'm back there in steerage.
I am a stressful flyer, and for somebody to ask me to move seats, and it didn't happen one time. I was sitting in the aisle, very close to the front. I wasn't in first class, but I was sitting in the aisle close to the front, and this lady gets on with her kids, and she's like, "I need somebody to switch with me," kind of looking around. And she said something. She was getting everybody a pity party, and she was giving, when you guys have kids. And I was like, yeah, that might be true, but I don't right now. And now that I do have kids, I'm even more mad at her. I'm like, I can't believe you flew with your kids under those conditions. You know what I mean? Like, you should have planned way more further out in advance if that's what you had to do. I'm way too tall to sit my little butt by the freaking window or in the middle seat. I'm not doing that.
Speaking of traveling, it's his Twitter handle is High Cotton on Twitter. He's literally in California right now on the Odyssey app. Listen,
oh boy,
that's an early start.
Yeah, good
yeah,
for you,
it's three. Yeah, he
3 hours back.
He might be on the way back from sleeping on the speaker from the club.
I was gonna say it might not be an early start. It might be a late finish.
He might be.
Yeah, that a boy.
Well, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. I know we have a lot to get to today. So you guys got your boards out. It is NFL Week 1.
Woo!
Your Braves were in action though, and they beat the Rockies 3-2. Chris Sale becoming the first Braves left-handed pitcher to reach 200 strikes.
Chris Sale is. Should be a lock. Should be. I know we still got the month of September, essentially, because it's only September 4th. I don't know how he's not the NL Cy Young. I did not. I'm going to be ignorant for a second and call out my ignorance. I'm a man up. Tiff, for you early.
Right, okay.
That Chris Sale had yet to win a Cy Young in any of the leagues. I literally thought he'd already won one in the American League.
He's been
not.
Close a lot.
This guy leads the Triple Crown, not for the NL pitching stats, but for Major League Baseball. Now, he is tied with wins, but he has 16 wins. So he's 16-3 with a 2.46 ERA. And as you mentioned, Tiffany, now 206 strikeouts. He was phenomenal again. There was a moment where they had a runner on third with no one out, and he got out of it. Now, Michael Harris should get an assist on that because
he's unbelievable.
His defense is literally on the next level right now since coming back. But Chris Sale has been the ace the Braves needed with Spencer Strider out.
Well, you made the comment this morning when I walked in the office that, you know, Chris Sale is the best pitcher in baseball, and I politely declined, and here's why. And that's really cute. Raisel Iglesias is the best pitcher in baseball, dude. Raisel Iglesias, for what he's been asked to do, 22 and a third straight scoreless innings, 29 of 31 on save opportunities, a 1.26 ERA with 57 innings pitched and 56 Ks. I agree with you, Chris Sale, best starting pitcher. Best pitcher in baseball actually might be his own closer when you look at what Raisel Iglesias has done over the course of this entire thing. The Braves' backs are against the wall. It's crunch time. And you know that any lead, any slim lead you might have down the stretch run of these games has got to be protected at all costs. That's what Raisel Iglesias has done. He has stepped into that role and been absolutely insane throughout the season. It's been awesome to watch.
Yeah, those stats are nice. I think it's cute. You didn't mention the one, though, where he's probably got, five outings in the last month and a half or two where it's been multiple innings. That, to me, and I'm not downgrading what you said. I'm just saying that's how incredible it is.
Cute.
That is, well, you know.
It feels like that was a shot.
Just relax, yeah. Don't be sensitive.
You threw cute and relax in the same.
Yeah, you know, he's an uptight little fella. But anyways, that's incredible to me because he's a guy that you haven't really seen a lot of it. That shows you that Brian Snitker is managing like you said the team is with their backs to the wall. They got enough offense last night. You got to just keep putting games together and then see what happens.
To your point, what does that coincide with the multiple innings? You don't have AJ Minter anymore.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what makes it all the more important when you get to the back end. AJ Minter was that guy. And we've seen the great teams over the year, not all the way throughout the season, but the great teams that have made playoff runs, they shorten that game down to, you know, if your starter can get six, and then you have, the seventh inning guy, the setup man, the closer, and all that in line. It's just been stressful when you look at the back end of this bullpen and the moves they've had to try to make to piece things together. But the one constant, and Chris Sale's one of them, but the one constant has definitely been Raisel Iglesias on the back end.
To add on to that, now we got to get a break. Starting pitching has been that, and that's the one thing your starting pitching has been able to do this year. Max Fried, Spencer Schwellenbach, Chris Sale, Renato Lopez, they're all giving you around that six-inning mark, where you're in the game with two or less runs most of the time. That is a recipe for success if you can make it to the postseason, but you have to make it there first.
Well, what will be the recipe for success for your Atlanta Falcons this year? Could it be the pass rush? Will they break through this season? We'll discuss when we come back on the other side. Stay with us here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Getting your day started.
Go ahead.
With The Morning Shift.
Time for the show. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Shout, shout, let it all out. These
are back here on the morning shift, and this is week one of your NFL season. So you got Thursday night football. We got a full slate on Sunday with the Falcons hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Don't forget Friday. Dylon down in the fold down in Sao Paulo. Just such a strange trip for Dylon as well. I mean, I'm happy for him. It's just a little bit out of pocket. You know what I mean?
Why out of pocket?
You don't think it's a little bit weird that Dylon's going to Brazil for the Eagles game?
No, he's an
Eagles
fan.
Because it's an Eagles game or because the game's in Brazil?
It just seems to me like that's not a trip that Dylon would have chosen. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
I mean, Dylon does probably what he is told by the lovely Simone.
You said it, not me.
And I mean, maybe that's how he likes it. Maybe he likes being told what to do.
What's funny, and I don't want to go down this road too far because I'll end up being painted as saying something hateful or the bad guy. But you act like this is his first trip to go watch Philly sports. I mean,
exactly.
Internationally, it is.
We've been doing this show for
shout out to Simone if you guys are already in the air or something.
We're right at 18 months, I think, doing this show. And Dylon has been to Philly or to watch a Philly sports team play probably 5 times already.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
He was up there for family stuff. Wasn't that, that was the most recent trip to Philly, wasn't it?
No.
It was a graduation or something.
Well, he also went to the draft.
I'm going to tell you something. She ain't from Philadelphia. I know. That's what I've been told. Like North Carolina or something. But she's an Eagles fan. And she's a Phillies fan.
Are you trying to expose Simone? Are you coming for Simone?
No, I'm just telling. No, I'm just. No, sure. No. If North Carolina, you're in no man's land. You can kind of be whoever you want, you know, because they don't have a football team. Well, they used to not. I guess they do have the Panthers now.
What are you talking about?
But my point is, I don't know. I forgot. I guess that Carolina.
You know what's funny is I was about to ride that wave. He was like, "Yeah, you know what? Dale Earnhardt Jr. talks about his love for the Commanders all the time. He's literally in Charlotte. Like what?"
But when he grew up,
I almost just tucked in right behind him. I was like, yeah.
But and that's kind of a part of it. But when he grew up there, there was no Panthers. But the reality is, she's a Philly sports fan. And Dylon's been up there quite a few times, so that's why it's not surprising. I don't think I can afford to go to Brazil today, I'd be a little worried. I mean, the NFL has put themselves in a weird spot down there because green is not a color you want to wear on the streets, and both teams are green. That's why I told Dylon, hey, man, wear your black Eagles jersey, okay? Okay, just... Because you know, I know he's an Eagles fan. He's got his jersey. Man. He's got multiple jerseys. Yeah. I hope he has a good time. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. I'm happy for him, man. It'd be cool.
He definitely should. Yep. He's a youth. They'll have a great time.
He's
I'm
just
sure.
such a
and then
such
hopefully
a good
we'll
kid.
Get video of him cheering on the Eagles, and then you can have your fun with him when he gets back.
Do you think you'll ever stop calling Dylon a good kid? I'm genuinely asking because I have old college teammates that were freshmen when I was like a senior, and I still call Mark Ingram a good kid, and he's like 35.
No, Dylon could be 55 with gray hair, and I'll be like walking around with a walker, and I'll
kid.
Be like, Dylon, he's such a good kid.
They're just
he's
good
a man
kids.
With a family. He's such a good
he's got
kid.
Grandkids.
He's a good kid. Good kid. Good kid.
Hopefully, he'll enjoy himself for that game on Friday, and then when you get to Sunday. Yes, the Falcons are hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers in their week one opener. And so the question is, and I know some of us were maybe inspired by Josh Kendall's article talking about on The Athletic. He covers all things for the Falcons. Talking about the Falcons' pass rush. Can they fix their woes this season? And there's some lovely, or not so lovely, stats in here. Atlanta, in the last, they are last in sacks. Cumulatively over the last 5 years. So last year they did take a step towards improvement. They doubled their sack mark from 42 from 21. Maybe there'll be some more improvement this year with the moves that they made during the draft, during free agency as well.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that the last 3 seasons, the Raheem Morris coach defense has had 129 sacks. And you mentioned that the Falcons were last cumulatively in the last 5 with 138. So 2 extra seasons for the Falcons to garner only 9 more sacks. And I understand that the biggest thing everybody's going to say is, well, Aaron Donald on the team is a game changer. And it is. But you've got some game changers now, too. I mean, you've got David Onyemata, who I think is, I mean, it's not Aaron Donald and Grady Jarrett's not Aaron Donald, but these are good players in the NFL. They're not bad players.
For sure.
They're players that can produce, that can create situations. They can get to where they have to be treated of double teams, and that can create some 1-on-1s. And that's why you added Matthew Judon, who is rolling in here with, 66 sacks, and I think like 54 and a half since 2018. Him and T.J. Watt, who is also in this game on the opposite side.
Who we also probably need to talk about at some point.
have been very two of the better guys in the league. The thing I would say, though, is, Tiffany, where at least to get off to a good start in week one is you have two guys rolling in here who could get to play quarterback, and they've both been sacked since 2021 268 times combined.
And I thought about that, but this is a different team for both of them, right? And different offensive line for
it
both
is.
Of them. So, but yes, they have taken a lot of sacks, so you can't deny that fact. But again, new team.
There is a new team, and is it, and the offensive line you mentioned, Mike, they're without their starting center, who started the preseason, who had the thing was a shoulder, and then you got Isaac Seumalo, who got hurt, who was their starting left guard. He got hurt in practice last week, and it looks like he might miss this week.
Yeah. And that's one of the tough things as you move towards, and I'm with both of y'all, honestly, because I do think that, Tiff, it's nice to have a change of scenery. I think that Arthur Smith's offense is very offensive line friendly to a number of people that otherwise would not be great pass protectors, right? You don't have to be technically a great pass protector in Arthur Smith's offense. You're not going to drop back and throw it 50 times a game, right? It's just numbers kind of add up. But I think to Bo's point as well, these are guys that have run themselves into sacks a lot of times. And you know I'm an offensive line friendly person when I look at it and I'm like, get rid of the freaking ball. All right? Drop back and throw the pill on time and quit acting like, you know, that you're going to run around for 10 seconds like it's high school ball. It's the NFL. So I think there's a little bit both ways. But to get back to the Falcons pass rush, Tiff, you mentioned 42 sacks a year ago. It is interesting to me, and it's always interesting. You look at numbers and you look at the Falcons ranking, which I think they were, 21, 22, something like that, in terms of their ranking in the NFL for team sacks. The question always is, how did they come about those sacks, right? Are they being exotic? Are they running pick stunts? Are they walking linebackers up? Are they getting out of their lanes? Or are they simply getting there with a four-man rush with an edge rusher like a Matthew Judon and getting home? I think, to me, that's a bigger question. The question to me will not be the sack total or the sack numbers or how many sacks per game. It's how they are getting the sacks, right? If they can line up with
what's that indicative of then?
Well, I think what is it indicative of? It means that they have an elite pass rusher on the edge, right? You have a T.J. Watt that goes out there in a four-man rush and can get home. You know, you have a Joey Bosa. You have a Khalil Mack. You have, a Von Miller that can get home. I think that's where the great teams have been able to separate themselves. Now, Kansas City's a little bit different where they do it kind of from the interior with a Chris Jones and guys like that. But when you have an elite pass rusher at one spot that can get home in a four-man rush, I think that's really where great teams start to separate themselves and are able to make some of these playoff runs.
But isn't that where you take, and we've seen Aaron Donald do this. You talk about Raheem. Aaron Donald did this for the Leonard Floyds of the world, where when you're great, and you can garner a double team.
Yep.
Good players, even average to good players, can collect sack totals because they're getting 1-on-1s and they're going to be able to win some of those 1-on-1s, you know?
And that's what, just to make add on to that real quick, but that's what some of the Rams guys, when I had them last year, talked about what Aaron Donald does, the effect that he has when he's on the field. And so who can be that guy then for the Falcons? I know you mentioned maybe Matthew Judon coming in.
Well,
maybe he can have that kind of impact.
Yeah, but I mean, I think if you're looking from the interior out, I do think David Onyemata has a little more wiggle than we initially thought he would. I think a lot of people, when David Onyemata was signed, it's like, man, it's going to be great taking on the double teams. You know, really anchor down the run game. You look at his pass rush win rate on just true pass sets from the offensive line, it's very high. I'm pretty sure he led the front seven in terms of that. It's like 20% win rate, which is pretty outrageous, right, if you believe in the kind of stat cast things with that. So it is funny because you look at it and you think, well, you know, this guy might have led or that guy might have led. David Onyemata is as elite for his position as we have defensively for the Atlanta Falcons. And I think that fits right into to kind of your point about Aaron Donald is, When these guys are having to account for you in these pass rush situations, I think that leads to a lot of more team success, you know, without having to be too exotic defensively up front.
Freeing things up, like you said, for Matthew Judon or whoever else is going to be rushing the passer.
Yeah, and I think there's a guy that we haven't even talked about that might get some opportunities.
Uh-oh.
And
tell us who it is.
And I was completely way off the board with this. I didn't think this guy would ever have a chance, and I heard people talking in the offseason. And then after being at training camp, I realized that I think Caden Ellis is going to be in a position to where he's asked to do things on the edge that could garner him some sacks. I thought it'd always be a Troy Anderson-type player, but I think Caden Ellis is going to have an opportunity off the edge at times to, if he can win in some one-on-one situations, or, and to me, this is what he did in New Orleans so well that you pointed out to me, Mike, when we saw him when he was in New Orleans with Ryan Nielsen before he came here last year, is that if he gets those one-on-ones and he just stays in his pass rush lane against a team that has quarterbacks, as we mentioned earlier, that had a tendency through multiple teams, like, you know, Russ did it with the Broncos and with the Seahawks, where he would run himself into these sacks, Caden Ellis might garner two or three early this season.
Yeah, I think he's a huge X factor when it comes to that, because I do think he's very self-aware of what his role is defensively. I have another X factor for you. How about Zach Harrison? How about with the length he has and obvious passing downs? Now, we've kind of juggled back and forth. What is he in this defense? Is he a four technique? Can he line up at the three? Can he withstand the double teams? But if you find a role for him and obvious passing downs, lining up against some of the guards in the league, using his 6'8" frame and those long arms, I think he's a guy that could have a lot of success and be an X factor for this defense. So that'll be interesting to watch as well.
Who will be the X factor for the offense? Could it be Bijan Robinson? And is he in the perfect situation now to thrive this season? We will discuss, and we'll hit a TB's timeout. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Did you know you can listen to The Game on...
It's more than just sports talk. This is the Morning Shift.
I'm in.
Me too.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rolling along here on the Morning Shift as we get set for this week one of NFL football. So we got, what, Thursday night football tomorrow?
Woo!
Which sound, that's crazy.
Yes.
This is a short week.
Yeah.
It snuck up. Yeah.
It'll be right here on our airwaves.
Yes.
It will be. That's wild to think about. And then, what, Friday in Brazil? And then Sunday, the full slate. I will be on my way to Buffalo this week for the Cardinals and the Bills. So
that's actually a sneaky, intriguing game.
I know. That's
really sneaky.
Very excited about it. Got meetings with the Bills on Friday. We'll see the Cardinals on Saturday. And the most fun part about it all, the high is like 61 on Sunday for me.
Bring it to me.
I think it's going to rain on Friday to cool things off. And then,
oh, gosh, I'm so ready. Just give me another false fall.
Time to be up there.
Give me another false fall down here. I think it's coming.
I miss false fall. I hope it comes back.
It's here.
Well, in the mornings.
But no, it's only going to be, I think Friday it's only going to be like 79.
Yeah, I'm so here for that, dude.
So close
to
80.
Awesome.
I know, it's
Tiffany,
a reprieve. It's a reprieve.
you missed a couple of hot days when you were in Paris, because it was, I'm telling you.
Hey, we had the heat wave out there, too.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
How hot
did you get? Trapped in a train station.
I remember seeing some of the beach volleyball.
Did he get 75 there?
Miserable.
It was higher than that. it was in the 80s or close to 90.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was wild. So, anyway, week one we got going on, and we were just talking about could the Falcons pass rush have a breakthrough season this year? And then now we can talk about the other side of the ball, because Bijan Robinson. We all saw it last year, right? The big flashes from him in his rookie season. And so now he's got a new offensive coordinator. He has a new head coach. He has a new quarterback. All the things. Can he set himself up, or is he set up for success this season?
Tiff, everything is different around him except his offensive line. And that is the biggest part of this entire equation. I don't know if you're aware. The offensive line is kind of an important thing
in
the NFL.
Here we go.
You know what I mean? The offensive line is the catalyst. It's the straw that stirs the drink, if you will, offensively.
We had an offensive lineman in our meeting this past week. I just want to make sure you know.
Okay.
Did he
step up to the plate, deliver the one-liners?
He was fantastic. They're always fantastic.
They're cerebral.
If that's the case, that's the case, then why weren't we in the playoffs last year?
Do you want me to go there right now? You want me to open up that can?
Y'all going to fight?
No, yeah. He knows how I feel about trench play.
Well, you know how I feel about Arthur Smith's offense too. So
it was all Arthur's fault, not Desmond Ridder's decisions.
We've talked about this before. I blame way more of last year on Arthur Smith. And not only that, Arthur Smith was the one that decided to roll with Desmond Ridder at the quarterback position, so that all kind of falls back on him as well. Arthur Smith had two different top three drafted quarterbacks in his offense and couldn't do much more than he did with Desmond Ridder. So, I'm not going to put that on the offensive line last year. Not only that, but you did have a number of your game you lost. You want to open up this can of worms? We can go, baby. The game you lost against Carolina when he threw the awful pick, you were also missing, three of your starting offensive linemen in that game.
Were you?
I think Bijan is in line for a breakout year. What does that look like? That's the bigger question. I think, is it, 1,000 yards rushing? He was very close a year ago. Is it,
over 1,400 total yards from scrimmage.
Right.
Yeah.
500-plus yards receiving, which is great. I think he'll get that again. But I think when you look back at what he could have done or what he might possibly do in this offense, I think a number of things. First of all, Cordarrelle Patterson is not here. I think it is split between Tyler Allgeier and Bijan. I don't think you'll see a third tailback in that rotation just yet. But I also think that Tyler Allgeier is in line for a little bit more of a role than he had last year. So I'm not sure where to put Bijan's numbers. Hopefully he gets over the 1,000-yard mark, but I'd love to see both of them do that, and I don't care which one it is.
How much does having Kirk Cousins impact this in terms of what this does to a defense? Because now you do have to worry about the significant threat of someone who's very good at throwing the football, and then also someone like a Bijan Robinson who's really good and electric at running the ball.
No, I think that's what you mentioned is Kirk Cousins' ability to get Bijan Robinson the ball in the receiving game as well, which is Bijan Robinson is not just an elite running back as far as taking handoffs.
No, and but I defensively, you got to respect both aspects. You really have to respect both aspects of the game.
Well, you do, and you have to respect it more with talking about Bijan with Kirk Cousins back there because Kirk knows how to get everybody the ball. He's not afraid to throw in tight windows. There's not, Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota, when you saw them at times last year or last 2 years, there were certain throws they were scared to make. Now, granted, some of that was because of, I thought they played scared because of the way they were coached at times, and especially Desmond late in the year. Go look at Taylor Heinicke late last year. When he comes in and against Arizona, because he was looking over his shoulder because he didn't know if he made a mistake, he'd be out of the game, and he wouldn't pull the trigger on certain passes. So that freedom that maturity that Kirk Cousins has. But I just think there were miscommunications between Bijan Robinson and Desmond Ridder last year and Taylor Heinicke that I don't think happened this year, mainly because of Kirk Cousins and what he is as a leader and a veteran in this league. But also because he's seen all these things and he can adjust and he's going to figure it out. And if he sees something, hey, man.
Talk to me.
You got to sharpen that route.
Come on, man.
You got to flatten that route out. What are you doing? And really get into these guys. That is going to be huge.
Let's hit a TB's timeout.
Now listen up. Now let's take a look at what's going on in Tiffany's world. This ain't funny.
With TB's timeout on The Morning Shift.
Athletes in this room, some at the highest level, some at the next highest level, and then there's some.
I would be some.
I ask if you had any weird routines before games, because I saw this article on The Athletic talking about even fan superstition and then also player superstitions as well. I know when I was playing, and it probably was mainly my superstition through high school, not necessarily college, because mom wasn't taking me to Publix in college to go get a sub. But back in high school days, I always had to have the same type of sub from Publix. And people are going to be like, ew, gross. Yes, I like mayonnaise. Don't come for me.
Gross.
Mayonnaise on the 6-inch, just white bread sub, lettuce, black olives.
Yeah, I can do without the black olives.
Turkey,
you've lost me.
And provolone cheese. And that was my sandwich all the time.
No
and
bacon?
Where did the black olives come from?
I've always loved olives. Oh. I love olives. Hence why I love it. I love a dirty martini, even though it's not black olives. But I love all olives.
I do not.
My equal olive opportunity employer.
I'm anti-olive.
And so,
I am,
that's
too.
A shame.
It's like
you're
my least favorite
food. You're missing out on life.
It's literally my least favorite
food. They are delicious. The the saltiness. Anyway, I digress. But that's what I would have to have on my sandwich. And I would try to eat it well before, you know, a little bit well before the game, and maybe throw in like a Snickers bar. And then on the way to the game, I would listen to The Eye of the Tiger.
No. That is.
That was what I was driving myself.
That is so, that was my, so on brand. Listen,
that was my.
Stop it.
It's so on brand. Like,
is that on brand, you think?
With her?
That's way off brand for me.
Yeah, because it's just. There's this.
There's a certain corniness to her. Huh?
That's it. That's it.
There's a corniness?
Yeah.
A wait, corniness. Wait, whoa.
You're secretly corny.
Whoa. You? You guys are calling. Wait, especially you?
Yeah. There's a certain corniness.
You
listen to Eye of the Tiger on the way to your soccer game.
Okay, but you are calling me corny?
Yeah, Mike listened to trap music.
Yeah. I've already played my top five list a couple weeks ago was Pastor Troy. All kinds of stuff.
I had all of that, but I had to start with that song. It wasn't like I just kept it on repeat.
I know you let you then you listen.
I cannot believe my I am my ego is bruised because
it should be.
Mike, I think you might be you're like the wholesome dad one. Yeah. Like you're the corniest one of this group.
Doesn't mean there can't be multiple corny people in here. I own it too.
But,
it's okay. Just let it flow through.
I guess I'm the least athletic and the least corny in the room. Look at that.
That's. I just think you lack a certain emotional bone.
I got way off subject here. I feel like shots are just fired. Like, I did not
like the word corny. Real quick, I do want to tell you, because I had a teammate, Sam Baker. Everybody remembers him, left tackle. He had a weird pregame thing where he used to put both of his pant legs on at the same time. And
Wait, I know.
Okay. Yeah. So the reason is
sitting down, I'm assuming, right?
The reason is because we had a coach. I think it was Paul Boudreau. It was like when Sam was a rookie, he gave him this rah-rah speech, and he said something along the lines of, guys, they're just like us. They put their pant legs on one leg at a time, just like we do. So for the rest of his career, Sam Baker would sit on his stool in the locker room, and he would put both pant legs on at the same time and pull them up, and he'd be like, nope, I'm different, man. I'm different. I'm going to be different today. I always thought that was awesome. I always thought that was the coolest pregame ritual.
That's funny.
Dude, that's sick.
Yeah,
that is next level thinking.
You know what I mean? This is all a mental game.
Well, I'm at the point now in our life where we're old, and like when I go to the driving range, like if I'm playing a round of golf, I have a separate glove for the driving range than the actual round. And it's like that's like the only thing I'm ritual about now with when actually playing, because that's the only thing I do.
Makes sense.
But a lot of guys put their glove on. They hit a few balls and they walk right to they get right on the card. I actually go through like three bags. I try to hit all the bad shots out, and it never happens.
It's different.
It never happens.
Try to empty.
Hey, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Hey, when we come back, you know what? I bet some Falcons players are going to be bumping this in the locker room, right? No? Maybe?
Oh,
all right, week one ahead. Let's get back to our expectations for this team, in particular the pass rush. This season, stay with us here on the Morning Shift.
The corny
on
edition.
Radio. I am not corny on 92.9 The Game. I'm upset by this.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Steakhouse Morning.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.